really frustrating. Losing sucks, especially when you play bad. You kind of deserve to lose. It's frustrating.
Philip Kurashev.
His puck at the line, kept in by Korchinski. To Foligno, but in our right circle, put it in front. They score! Philip Kurashev with a little handoff from Bedard. Here's Kurashev with a shot. He scores! Oh, that was a bomb!
Moving it quick, kind of snapping it around a bit. It's effective, and yeah, it was nice to obviously get a couple of it.
Now, it's time to talk hockey.
Go Blackhawks!
It's time to talk Hawks. Here's Joe Brand.
This might be the first Blackhawks Live ever on a Friday night. But you know what? Timing works out. It's the trade deadline. Well, the trade deadline is actually all said and done with, and kind of a quiet trade deadline for the Blackhawks this year, and for general manager Kyle Davidson, the first quiet trade deadline of his career. I'm Joe Brand. This is Blackhawks Live. Our producer is Jack Heinrich. We take you up to 8 o'clock tonight as we recap the NHL trade deadline, get you set for the weekend coming up for the Hawks, where they'll be in Washington tomorrow and then hosting Arizona on Sunday. But for right now, it's more about what the Hawks did and what they didn't do over the past couple of days. It's about the development, the prospects, the future for this Hawks team that gets a little bit of a better scope of things now with the trade deadline all said and gone. But even rather, general manager Kyle Davidson said that he was kind of expecting maybe a little bit more today, but he didn't want to make things happen just to make things happen. He was going to let things kind of come to him. But because the last two trade deadlines were so big, so pivotal, and so busy, it kind of put him into a different sense, a different setting this go-around with a lot less work to do at the trade deadline.
You know what? Yes and no. Last few years were just, you know, stressful for different reasons. You know, the activity, you know, the gravity of some moves. This year was, you know, I think more stressful because, no, it wasn't more stressful, it was a different kind of stress because the last two deadlines I've worked have been so busy that this felt different. Just, you know, you're thinking like, is there something else I should be doing, or, you know, and so it was just different. It was you know, to say it was much more quiet would be an understatement. So it was different. You know, you still work the phones the same, and, you know, just there's less substance in those phone calls, which, you know, feels like you're spinning your wheels a bit. But no, you know, all good, and you know, just a different year for us.
Kyle Davidson didn't have a Patrick Kane contract to move this year. He didn't have a Marc-Andre Fleury contract to move this year. He really didn't have many contracts to move this year. And a big reason of that is because the Hawks locked in a few of their players that might have been good trade candidates earlier this year, and Nick Foligno, Jason Dickinson, and Peter Mrazek. There were also some other variables that played into effect for this year. Corey Perry's not on the team anymore. Taylor Hall still going through his ACL surgery recovery, which actually we do have good news on that front, but it was just a much different makeup of the roster this year. And when you take a look at the list in the NHL and the moves that were made, there weren't too many big number one, number two picks moved around. So it makes it a little bit easier for Kyle Davidson this go-around to not just make moves just to make moves. And also, the Hawks are kind of in a different market right now in terms of what they need to start acquiring. Over the past couple of years, Kyle Davidson's done a great job of accumulating all these draft picks and collecting all this draft capital for not just next year, but the next couple of years to come. I mean, he does still have two first-round picks for the next 2 years. Right now, it's more so to get a more complete team and a complete roster. That doesn't necessarily mean the next successful roster for the Blackhawks starting right now, just more of what value can you have in guys that are going to be on the team right now. So the only guys that did get moved were Anthony Beauvillier and Boris Tkachuk. And Tkachuk was really just placed on waivers and then claimed by the Ottawa Senators. And then we later found out that that was also an attempt to try and make Boris Tkachuk available for Rockford for their playoff run, which is understandable because that seems like that could be some very good, valuable experience for Tkachuk. And also, to just add some more power down to the AHL affiliate for a long playoff run, because we understand the type of value that the Hawks hold in those guys playing in competitive games down in Rockford, where they might not get it up at the NHL level. Apples and oranges in terms of the experience, but you still want the guys that are down in Rockford to really be playing towards something and gain that experience of playing some high competitive hockey. The Anthony Beauvillier stint in Chicago was short-lived, but seems like a great guy. And also, just based on how he got here and how he was moved out, makes me think that coaches really like having him on their team. He was brought over in November because the Blackhawks were just really short in terms of their depth. They were dealing with so many injuries. And I'm sure Luke Richardson put something into Kyle Davidson's ear about what type of competitor Anthony Beauvillier is. And even after his wrist injury, once he came back, they were putting him with Connor Bedard because he has that high-skilled offensive talent. It really wasn't totally showcased here with the Hawks, but obviously Barry Trotz must have remembered it when he had his stint with Anthony Beauvillier as the head coach of the New York Islanders, because that's where Beauvillier went. Not to the New York Islanders, but to the Nashville Predators, where Barry Trotz is now running things. So nice to see him find a different spot, and really it's no harm, no foul for the Hawks. They essentially just swap fifth round picks with the Vancouver Canucks and now the Nashville Predators, so you just kind of move on. Boris Tkachuk, honestly, he came over in the Brandon Hagel trade a couple of years ago, and I always appreciated his demeanor, his willingness to just take advantage of the situation. He wasn't consistent in the starting lineup this year. In fact, he even went down to Rockford a little bit. But he always took every assignment wholeheartedly, never really pouted, had the right type of energy, the right type of attitude throughout it all. And that's actually what the Blackhawks are saying now about Lucas Reichel. And I bring him up because with Beauvillier being moved, Boris Tkachuk being claimed off waivers, it does open up the space on the forward side of things a little bit for the Hawks right now. That being said, we got better news about Andreas Athanasiou and Nikita Zaitsev, two guys that have been on injured reserve for quite some time. Athanasiou has been skating with the team. He's hopeful to return on Saturday against the Washington Capitals. The Hawks actually officially activated Nikita Zaitsev off of injured reserve earlier today, but they're both game-time decisions. They're on the plane right now, or I'm sure they've landed already. But anyway, they're with the team on the road in Washington. So if Athanasiou works his way back into the lineup, I wonder if Lucas Reichel might be on his way back soon too, because we did see some success with Lucas Reichel, Philip Kurashev, and Andreas Athanasiou towards last year, but it'd be pretty surprising to see the Hawks mix up that top line with Bedard and Kurashev with the success that they've had. Let's talk about Lucas Reichel a little bit. Kyle Davidson talked about him today and just basically said this was an attempt to get his season going because he's had the struggles of it before, and we've talked about this a lot this year. Use the phrase, it's trending in the right way. Lucas Reichel has responded the right way, and Kyle Davidson went on to say, we'll look to carry that on a bit longer. Here's what Luke Richardson had to say about the reports he's getting about Lucas Reichel down in Rockford.
Inching closer to the way we want him to play. I think he's got, you know, quite a few assists but no goals. So again, we'd like him to shoot that puck a little bit more and get that more of a first thought mentality. Because, you know, he's going to see plays when they're automatically there. I think we got to get him to see the shot when it's there a little bit more often. And if that happens, great. And I think he's gone down with a great attitude and knows he has to work on some stuff to get him back to a level where he showed at the end of last year.
Reichel has 5 assists in 6 games so far since being moved back down to Rockford. He's a +3. He also had the helper on the game winner in overtime a little less than a week ago. But it'll be interesting because it looks like he's making progress. It looks like he's doing the right things, but not quite sure if he's totally excelling at the rate that they'd like him to, at least for the time being. I do still think we all have to be a little bit more patient with Lucas Reichel. He's only 21 years old. If he doesn't come back up to the NHL by the end of this year, I don't think it's completely a fault. I think there's still some leg room, some wiggle room to try and build his confidence, build his game back up, and it's not the end of the story of Lucas Reichel. At least that's the vibe I'm getting. But I do wonder how this trade deadline kind of changes things around. Now, that being said, right now it's the Big Ten tournament in terms of collegiate hockey, and Landon Slaggart and Frank Nazar are two guys that are still playing and still continuing their collegiate seasons. They might be ending soon. We'll get into that in just a moment. A few other things I wanted to point out. On the injury front, again, don't be surprised if you see Andreas Athanasiou and Nikita Zaitsev playing for the Hawks on Saturday. It was great to see Taylor Hall out on the ice today. He was on the ice before practice, just working on some things. It doesn't sound like he's going to get in any sort of contact drills or contact situations with the team and practicing with the team as of right now. He's still recovering from this ACL surgery. But it is a good step forward to see his progression and just finally something to base off his progress from. Before, it was just looking at some of his Instagram stories and, you know, his rehab had been looking great, but it does look like that's moving forward. And that's a big factor that's affected the Hawks this year and will affect them next year as well. It was kind of interesting to talk to Kyle Davidson today about roster construction for next year and free agency and all these kind of variables that are still in place. But it reminds me of last year and the draft lottery and the Connor Bedard situation, and I do think that that's going to play a part into this year as well. We'll get to more on that and a little bit more on a few other things as we recap the NHL trade deadline here on Blackhawks Live, 720 WGN.
Not right now. No, I haven't given that much thought. I think we'll just get through this year and see where we're at. But as far as the leadership in the locker room, I'm extremely happy with how things are going, how the team has come together, and they're a tight group, and I think they have fun together. And so I think that's in due in large part to the leadership group that's bringing everyone together and you know, building that camaraderie and that team feel. So really happy how that's all gone.
Blackhawks general manager Kyle Davidson, when asked if he's thought about who the next captain for the Blackhawks will be. I'm Joe Brand. This is Blackhawks Live. Our producer is Jack Heinrich. The trade deadline has come and gone. It was a pretty quiet trade deadline for the Hawks, making just one move, sending Anthony Beauvillier to Nashville. The only other pieces that were looked at as possible trade chips were Tyler Johnson and Colin Blackwell. Neither of those guys were moved. Honestly, it sounds like a good situation for Colin Blackwell, who's really found a nice role on this Hawks team. Also had been pretty vocal about wanting to stay in Chicago. Sounds like his wife is pregnant and just definitely likes the stability. And his wife, I know, is from the Milwaukee area. So congrats to Colin Blackwell on knowing where he's going to be for the rest of the year. I don't think it's too surprising that Kyle Davidson isn't quite set on, or at least ready to publicly say, who the next captain for the Blackhawks will be. I know it's easy to just quickly speculate that Connor Bedard would be the obvious choice, but with the way that Nick Foligno has really come through in terms of leadership on this Hawks team, I don't know if he overtakes that role or slows down that role, but there is a lot of good leadership in that room right now without having the C. So if the Hawks choose to just kind of ride that for maybe another year, I would understand why they decide to go that route. Talking earlier about roster construction next year for the Hawks, I've seen it a lot on Twitter that we got to get Bedard some help. This is getting rough. He's going to get really frustrated about being on a difficult team. Okay, I understand that, you know, how poorly the season has gone in terms of wins and losses is very frustrating, but I don't think that's the main motivating factor. Kyle Davidson mentioned he wants to see how the draft rolls out, see how the rest of the season goes, and I think it's important to do that. I mean, if you think of it, the Hawks really didn't put together the rest of their roster until after knowing they were going to get Connor Bedard. If you look at the timeline, I think they made the trade for Hall in Foligno right before the actual draft, but you knew who they were going to go after. You knew they were going to select Connor Bedard. But then Corey Perry, Ryan Donato, all that came afterwards, too. So depending on where the Hawks land in the draft lottery this year, I think could play a role in how they construct the rest of the roster. So as anxious as we all are to see how much more competitive they can be next year, I think it is wise to just kind of pump the brakes on, you know, looking at the free agency and speculating who might be here next year. But Kyle Davidson made it pretty clear that right now is the time to look at the future for this Hawks team.
Well, he had a great year offensively, especially goal scoring. Kind of found a little bit of a little extra goal scoring punch, which I think is good for his confidence. But again, being a leader there and getting a lot of time and you know, playing against some pretty good teams in the Big Ten, it's great experience. But you know, he just continued that style of play, the relentless high compete style that he's always had, and then add a little bit of offense this year, which was good to see and good for, you know, his confidence when you know, his season's done, and hopefully we can turn him pro.
He's talking about Landon Slaggard, who's currently the captain at Notre Dame. He's a senior, and he actually scored a goal in the game against Michigan just a little bit ago, earlier tonight. Landon Slaggard, a career-high 28 points in 34 games this year. But Davidson clearly understanding of how much his game is elevated. Same thing with Frank Nazar. He was very complimentary about his game as well. Both those guys are possible candidates to turn to a pro contract this year. Whether or not that'll be with the Hawks, not quite sure, but Slaggard being a senior, Nazar being pretty well polished with his collegiate career, both those guys could have pro contracts sooner rather than later. We will take another break. Philip Kurashev on the other end of it as we talk to him about his season so far. But now we go to David Jennings from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Welcome back to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. We're talking with Phil Kurashev here as the Blackhawks get set for their next game on Saturday. But, Philip, how much fun are you having right now? I mean, it feels like there's just an extra tick in your personality, your play on the ice. How much are you enjoying it right now?
I don't know, hard to say. It's hard to really enjoy it when you lose so much games. Obviously, it was nice to get that win on the road finally. I think that kind of helped the mood in the team overall a little bit. But yeah, I mean, of course, it's hard. It's frustrating. I think it's, I don't know, maybe it looks like I'm, you know, it's fun, but it's hard when you lose, and it's tough mentally. But we try to keep a good mind and a positive mind.
What's helped you kind of keep a positive mind throughout this tough season?
Yeah, just, you know, you try to, try to do the best and try to grow, you know, as a team and personally as well. I think, you know, I am having fun, you know, playing with Connor and, you know, kind of our third guy, kind of been switching in and out. But, yeah, that's been, you know, fun. And, you know, I think just I took a kind of step forward, I think, this year. So, yeah. Still a lot of things to improve, and but I think slowly we're getting there.
What do you credit most about your step forward?
I think mostly just the long summer. Yeah, I think it was hard last year. I got hurt at the end of the year, and I was kind of struggling a little bit, and then used that summer kind of as a big reset mentally, and then of course had a lot of time to get stronger in my body and on the ice take steps, and I think it helped me a lot coming into this year.
How do you get stronger mentally? What did you do over the summer that kind of helped that?
Yeah, I think first of all, of course, I had to get back with my rehab with my shoulder, but I think just taking some time off hockey, kind of went on a little vacation, and I think that helped a lot. Just not think about anything, kind of be free in the mind, and that helped me a lot, because then got back, got my shoulder back 100%, and it was a great time, and great time getting ready for the season.
What do you like to do away from hockey? What do you like to do in your free time?
I like to, talk to my friends from back home and my family. I usually come home and call make a couple calls and just, you know, spend time with them. And then, you know, I like to hang out with the guys too. Just, you know, go for dinners or whatever, and kind of enjoy the city because it's an awesome city. I love playing here, and I just more chill person, I think, away from the ice, and just relax mostly.
Do you kind of feel more like a Chicagoan having to be here over the summers?
I'm not. I think I know city pretty well, yeah. But so much to do. I think so many restaurants and good places to visit. And I really enjoy it. I love it.
Anything surprise you about the city that you didn't quite know about?
I mean, before I came, I didn't know, you know, nothing. I only knew, the Blackhawks, the Bulls, and all the sports teams. But the city I came, and it's beautiful with the lake, the river, and the big houses. You know, it's something different than back home. And just enjoy it every day.
What's the perception of the Bulls from a different country? What's that like?
Yes, it's so. I think that's maybe the most famous basketball team, you know, everywhere. I think just because of, the Jordan and that kind of time when they win so much. And that's kind of all, you knew. And that's kind of the team I knew growing up.
Talk with Philip Kurashev here on Blackhawks Live. Has your dad been around here? Is he still hanging around?
Yeah, my parents just came to visit me for like 3 weeks. They had some time, and they for that homestand, they were here for all of it, and it was just great spending time with them during the year, because the first couple of years they weren't even able to come because of COVID and stuff, and now they able to come and enjoy some meals from my mom and spend time with them, and it was awesome.
How important was your dad throughout your hockey career? Like, do you envision your career differing anyway if he's not in the picture?
Yeah, it was really important. Of course, he was really busy always with his teams. But, you know, when I come home or sometimes when he had time, he came and watched and stuff and watched most of the games. But, we always talked about it and talked about what he can help me. And because he went through it, he played. And my mom was there always, waiting for me and stuff. So, without my parents, there is no chance I could do what I am.
Is your dad a good coach? Like, did he help you improve a lot, or is it kind of a, stand aside, let you grow on your own type thing?
No, he definitely helped me, but he never really, was like too hard, because they never pushed me to do nothing, or like, not like that, but yeah, just yeah. Like to force me to do something. I always loved playing, and I love hockey for all my life, and they just kind of helped me, and my dad kind of guided me on what I should do and what it takes to become professional. And I'm really grateful for what they did for me.
How often or how long have you been able to speak three languages?
Four?
Oh wow, okay, I'm sorry. What's the fourth?
No, it's a little bit French, but it's getting worse now. But, German and Russian, from when I was really kid, and then English. I have a little bit family from USA, so when I was young, I had to try English, but it was not good. And then when I moved to Quebec, it started to get really well. And before that, it was just like it was so. But now I feel comfortable with it.
Which one's the most challenging to learn?
French.
Yeah.
I think English was. Well, I don't know, because Russian and German are like just natural, and then French is the hardest one so far.
Wow, that surprises me. I feel like French might kind of blend in with those other ones.
No, I think Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because I watched hockey all the time when I was young. Maybe that's why I knew a little bit better. But French, it's hard. It's hard. Yeah.
What are you most proud about this year so far in your individual game?
Yeah, I think I've been a lot more consistent with my play. I think, yes, of course, sometimes it's up and down, but I think the last couple of years I was kind of struggling with that, but I think that this year I kind of took a step in that and, kind of feel good about my game most of... I feel okay about my game most of the nights. Yeah.
Do you feel like this is the most confident you've ever been in terms of your hockey game?
Yes, I think I always had confidence, you know. Just it was harder, I think, to show it maybe. It was hard when I was kind of getting switched. The first couple of years you always get like switched in the lineup a little bit and you never really have a spot and stuff. And now it's I've been most of the year same, and it's been good for me to, you know, kind of be comfortable and just, you know, have that comfortable with my line just with the role I have. Yeah.
What's one of the best things about playing with Connor Bedard?
Yeah, it's awesome. I really like playing with him. It's kind of, you have to be always ready. You never kind of know. Sometimes you don't expect something to happen, but it does, and you got to be ready for it. So I just try to, you know, make some space for him and get open when he has it, and, kind of read off each other. And I think, it's been working, but I think we can do even more because, we have to. Yeah.
Phil, thank you for the time.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, more Blackhawks Live, 720 WGN.
Wrapping up Blackhawks Live on this Friday night. Couple of games this weekend. The Hawks visit Washington tomorrow. They're hosting Arizona on Sunday, and then we're right back at it. Blackhawks Live coming up on Monday. I'm Joe Brand. Our producer is Jack Heinrich. And now it's time to cue the shot, brought to you by Curveball Whiskey.
Here's Kershaw with a shot. He scores! Oh, that was a bomb! Foligno fed it from the left circle. Kershaw, top of the right circle, was wide open. It took the Hawks 4 seconds to convert on the power play, and they now lead 4-2.
Big thanks to Philip Kershaw for being our guest this week. Cue the Shot is brought to you by Curveball, the original barbecue whiskey. Join the Bonehead Nation today at curveballwhiskey.com. That's Curveball with a K, and if you follow them on social media, it looks like they've got some cool drink concoctions coming up for St. Patrick's Day. Philip Kurashev with a huge power play goal in that win against the Arizona Coyotes. Such a much-needed win for this team, just to get their monkey off the back in terms of the road losing stretch and just an overall 7-game losing skid as well, and just figuring some things out in the power play. I mean, 4 power play goals in that game against Arizona, just a breath of fresh air. As I mentioned earlier, our producer is Jack Heinrich, and he chimes in this last segment to take us a look around the league. What caught your eye this week, Jack?
Well, the big news is the trade deadline, and to me it felt like really the whole week was kind of a build-up to today. Maybe today was a little quieter, but, I mean, Tomas Hertl going to Vegas today is a pretty big out-of-nowhere move, but a lot of moves for a lot of the contenders. I know we said the Hawks didn't do a lot, but a lot of moves around the NHL.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously this is a Hawks-focused show, so that's why we kept it that way. But it's probably worth noting that Anthony Duclair and Tomas Hertl, both leaving the San Jose Sharks, can play a factor in terms of where the Hawks land in the standings. Right now, both teams are tied with 37 points, I want to say, at the basement of the NHL standings. So that could play a role. The Hawks and Sharks will play each other twice still this year, so that's going to play a role as well. That's actually just in a couple of weeks. It was weird because a couple days ago, GMs were making moves like crazy, like mm-hmm. The deadline was 2 days ago. But Tyler Toffoli leaving, but New Jersey also picking up a goaltender. And it's interesting the route some of these teams went. Obviously, Jake Guentzel going to Carolina, big for a couple of fronts. Pittsburgh moving a player of that caliber, Carolina grabbing a rental of that caliber, something kind of out of their typical day-to-day business. But man, I'm sure Carolina's hungry because they constantly look for long playoff runs and are still searching for that Stanley Cup since 2006.
Yeah, it seemed like they were, I mean, it's like their MO to kind of stay pat, and they pull off two big moves. I mean, they got Evgeny Kuznetsov too from Washington. That's who the Hawks are playing tomorrow. So they made some big moves. I mean, Colorado bolstered. I mean, for me, Vegas is just a team that just kind of seems like they're just going at it every trade deadline. And I mean, they trade a first round pick in their top prospect today, but getting Hurdle for another, what, five more years or six more years after this? I mean, you got to give up something, but they're loaded up down the middle.
Former Blackhawk goaltender Malcolm Subban goes to the Columbus Blue Jackets. I mean, and the other thing I wanted to bring up was the Blackhawks not being really involved in retaining anyone's salary or using their cap flexibility to their benefit this year. And Kyle Davidson did address that, just basically saying, you know, there really wasn't any good returns other than late round picks. So kind of wanted to hang on to that asset for a little bit because the only retained salary that they still have right now is Jake McCabe. So they have a couple more. But I mean, the Hawks GM continues to be very strategic about this whole thing. And it's going to be interesting in a couple of years when it's full go mode. But I think he's being very mindful of it because, and I brought this up in the past, he was here, he was in-house when the Hawks were on their run and saw the fall of it. He saw what went wrong in terms of contract constructions and how it limited them for other guys that might have been worthy of a good payday, but the Hawks were kind of tied to a couple other really big contracts from players that, you know, were huge for the dynasty, but, you know, maybe a few more years, or I should say a few less years, or a few less million dollars could have given the Hawks a little bit more flexibility. So I think Kyle Davidson is just trying to be very mindful of that. But there's going to be a time where that's going to change. So it'll be interesting to see how aggressive he is in that setting. But it's just not here yet. So we really can't evaluate it. We can't criticize it yet because it's just not there. This is still kind of the deconstruction mode.
Right, and that's the easy part, too. That's what everybody says in the rebuild.
Like, it is.
Tearing it down is the easy part. But, I mean, he stacked up a bunch of picks, and then this year he didn't feel the right to force it. So I think that shows some maturity from his part, being a first-time GM, as he was very methodical the last two trade deadlines, and he kind of blew the team up. And then this time he's like, oh, well, Jason Dickinson at value adds a lot of leadership, and they got to get to the salary floor, so they give him some, and then Foligno comes back, and then Mrazek. So I think he's approaching it the right way. Now, we talk about how good of a job he's done, but you still got to win something, and that's a ways away. But he seems to be on the right track. And like you said, he observed the highs and the lows to see if he can try to keep it at the high point when he gets there.
It's also kind of funny how he was talking about the previous two trade deadlines, how just kind of hectic and crazy those were. So then this go around, he's kind of feeling like, should I be doing something more? Because, you know, nothing's really going on. And also, I feel like it might be a little bit of a bummer because you gain that experience over the past couple of years, all this wheeling and dealing and looking at draft picks and all this stuff. And then now you're just kind of standing pat, but it's just because of the situation that arose. So, you know, it's not for a lack of effort. It's not for a lack of movement. It's just how it was. And I do think there's a lot of value in signing guys like Foligno and Dickinson and Peter Mrazek by rewarding them for doing well while you're here. That sets a good standard for some of the kids, and it gives the Hawks what they need right now.
Yeah. And then one other thing, I don't know if you saw this, the Carolina Hurricanes are offering a beer stick, like a beer bat, but it's a stick.
I kind of saw that on Instagram.
Yeah. So I think they're available. I think I saw like they're available while supplies last. So I think you buy it kind of like the beer bat, but
it's going to be one of those things that go super quickly.
Oh, yeah.
What? Is Carolina battling beer snakes too? Is that why they had to evolve to the sticks?
Maybe. But
isn't that why the Cubs did the beer bats instead of the Cubs?
Probably. Yeah, because they were sick of trying to break those up. But I think it started in Carolina, the Cubs minor league, with the beer bats in Myrtle Beach, and now Carolina Hurricanes are doing it. I think that I could
maybe
be wrong.
Maybe. I remember there was once a deal, I think this was Tennessee Smokies, that for a certain game, you got a cup or a mug, and I think it was like $30 for that mug, and it was unlimited beer.
Oh, that'll get people in.
Until like the sixth inning, or no, it was something like, or like until there's five runs.
Oh, okay.
So it could happen in the first inning, or it could go all the way to the sixth inning.
Yeah, it's just good promotional stuff. And I mean, I like those wacky stuff, and I avoided a movie reference that I didn't know. So
yeah, well, that
double
was
wins.
Last question. Have you watched Old School yet?
No, I haven't.
All right,
I got to get around to it.
Still got some homework for young Jack Heinrich.
Yep.
All right, thank you, Jack.
You got it.
Again, two games this weekend. The Hawks are in Washington tomorrow. They host the Nashville Predators, or excuse me, the Arizona Coyotes on Sunday right here on 720 WGN.